Welcome to Royal Legacy, where we will explore the rich athletic history and deep family connections of BYU sports. Join us as we honor the past, celebrate the present, and look forward to the future of the BYU Cougars. Here's your host, Lauren McLean.
How's it going, everyone? I'm Lauren McLean, and this is Royal Legacy, where we dive deep into the family connections of BYU sports. Joining me today are former BYU football players and twin brothers, Alema and Tawasu Harrington. Alema is notably being the current host of the pregame, halftime, and postgame shows for the Utah Jazz. Thank you so much for being here today, guys.
We're so happy to be here, and chance for us to be together. We love it.
Yeah. I love it, too. When was the last time you guys were on BYU campus?
Well, I'm trying to think. I was here for BYU football camps because I have an 11 and a 12-year-old.
Hey.
And this was their third year coming down to camp. And I love bringing them down here and exposing them to what BYU culture is all about. So I get down here, you know, probably not nearly as often as I'd like to, but I was here this summer.
So do you do some gentle nudges to your children, like, hey, this is a great place.
I always try to get them BYU gear and, you know, try to, you know, balance things out in our home because there's some Utah influence as well. But absolutely trying to steer them in the right direction.
There you go. Tao, what about you? When was the last time you were here?
You know, interesting. That's an interesting question. I was on campus taking some classes. I can't remember what this religion class is, but if you want to try and teach seminary, then you have to take a religion class here. So I came and I was on campus for about 4 Fridays. I think they just had 1 or 2 classes a week. And it was an interesting thing to be up on campus again, because I live right here in Grandview, right on Provo, on the hill over here. And so I'm really close to campus, and I've been on a couple times before that, but that to be actually on campus and going to the classrooms and kind of feeling the energy of it and seeing how much construction's going on on campus was really
constantly.
Lots of changes happening.
Yeah.
When you guys look out at Lavelle Edwards Stadium when you come on BYU campus, what's one of the first things that comes to your mind, Alema?
Gratitude. The thing about having had the opportunity to play Division I football, you start to realize when you come through it, certainly when we did, it was almost like you take it for granted. It's like, oh, yeah, we're going to BYU. We're going to play football there. Our freshman year, we come in and we, you know, go undefeated, play Michigan in the Holiday Bowl. We were on that roster, didn't play that year, but, you know, got rings and all of that. But gratitude probably is the biggest thing. And then I hope I can use this word, righteous pride, because I was here when we launched BYU TV, ran into Dave McCann downstairs, and I had the chance to walk down memory lane, and Dave and I just did an event about a month and a half ago together. So getting a chance to see, you know, how this thing has developed. When I say this thing, I mean BYU's broadcast building and everything that comes out of here. So a lot of gratitude, a lot of, you know, proud to be a part of it.
I love that. Yeah. Tao, what about you?
I have to echo that word pride and gratitude as well. But there's an energy about that building, about BYU, what used to be Cougar Stadium, now Lavelle Edwards Stadium. And I was just a special teams player. I was a backup, strong safety, didn't really play. It wasn't good enough to really get much time there, but I played everything in special teams. And so my experience, and sometimes I'll describe this to my kids or anybody that'll listen, is, you know, is the beauty of that is that you're on the field really early because you're out there catching punts, doing all this, you know, kind of preliminary warm-up that other people don't do. And so you go on the field, then back in the locker room, then you come back out again, and you're in, like, half pads, and you do some, you know, some drills, and then you go back in and you come out one more time. And so when I'm first out there, it's just, you know, a few people, you know, little you know, pockets of people. And then the second time you come out a little bit more, but it's not full. And we played back when we played in front of 65,000 people every, you know, 64, 9, whatever it was. And then the last time you go into the locker room, when you come out, that place was rocking. It was rocking, and you're, and you come out, and the production, you know, the production level now isn't even close to what it used to be. We just run out and people, you know, it wasn't like fireworks and flags.
Yeah.
But
they were singing popcorn popping, weren't they? Back in the day,
it was. Oh man, the energy was electric. And I was on that team when we played Miami and we beat Miami when they came in. One of the first times we didn't play under the lights very often. Yeah. That was not a thing back then.
1 o'clock kickoffs were very common. Really? Yeah.
And so we were there when there were some really, really amazing, I call it the golden age. And we wore Royal and we went away from that and now we're back.
Yeah.
And I love the Royal Blue.
You thank Kalani for that.
Yeah. Yes.
He brought that back.
Absolutely. Yep.
Let's go back to 1970s Honolulu, Hawaii. Mm. Tao, how would you describe what it was like growing up in a place that some would view as paradise?
It is. Hawaii, I'm just, you know, let me mention the word gratitude. I'm so grateful to have grown up in a place. And it's paradise, you know, in a sense of it's a wonderful, beautiful climate. But it's so much more than that. When I miss Hawaii, I don't miss the weather as much as I miss the culture. Mm. Everything else about it, it's a melting pot of people. The food, the culture, the music, everybody gets along. It's such a special place. And so, it is paradise in more ways than just this tropical, destination.
So the culture and the people, everything
so
that goes
much,
along with
so
it.
So much more.
Yeah. I think our father, instilled in us a sense of gratitude for Hawaii. Our dad was born actually in Samoa and moved to Hawaii when he was 3. And for those who don't know, you know, our father's background, he was a great legendary athlete in Hawaii at Punahou High School, which we attended as well, and then ended up with a scholarship to Stanford University. Had an opportunity to go to the Colts camp coming out of college, but then ended up going on a mission, goes to Samoa on his mission, and came back to Palo Alto area. That's where he met my mom. Our mom is actually from here,
okay,
from Utah. And our grandfather on my mom's side actually was in broadcast for KSL back in the day. Hmm. And his name is Lynn McKinley. And so our father really, you know, loved Hawaii, and born in Samoa, Samoan ancestry, but he had this, you know, this feeling about Hawaii that I think transferred to us. In fact, one of his albums, he was an entertainer and sang, did show in Waikiki for 20 years, released, I think, 3 albums, if I'm not mistaken. But one of the original songs that he had was I Love This Land. And it just kind of speaks to how he felt about Hawaii. And I think that transferred to us and this great appreciation for what Hawaii provided for us in our, you know, growing up years.
Let's talk about your dad a little bit, because not only was he the first All-American football player on the island of Hawaii and a well-known actor and entertainer in the islands, being a regular on Hawaii 5-0, appearing in several other shows and movies. What was it like having a famous dad when you were growing up and living in Hawaii?
The funny thing, and I think most people can relate to this, whatever your dad does, that's what your dad does.
Yeah.
And you don't like look at it and it's like, oh, my dad is like, yeah, it's just kind of what dad does. So there were certainly some benefits to it, and we were upper middle class because of the things that he was able to provide for our family. And at the same time, and we were on the Hawaii 5-0 set, and, you know, we'd go down to his show at Waikiki and you know, sit and watch and you know, in a packed house, people come to see our father. But it still was just basically that's what, you know, we didn't know any different. Our father was doing that our entire lives, you know, and I look at my kids and, you know, people would ask them probably the same question. What's it like? Your dad is on TV and doing this stuff. It's just like, oh, that's just what my dad does.
Yeah.
So I think there's a certain amount of, not necessarily taking it for granted, but just I don't really know any different. Like, that's what my dad does. Your dad might work in a law office or your dad might be a plumber. You know, our dad was an entertainer. And there was still a great, you know, sense of you know, understanding that, that not everybody does that. And our dad was just amazing. And even as I got into the industry, broadcast industry, entertainment industry, that's air quotes, right? I still would study my father. And so I was blessed to have a dad that could show me the way in a very real way, you know, what it was like and what it took to be good at what he did.
Mm.
Yeah.
Tao, did you feel similarly?
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing about our dad, so our dad, before he became and got into entertainment, which was kind of a side hustle, his first love was teaching. So he got his degree at Stanford in history. And he then, when he and my mom, they married in the Bay Area, and then they moved back to Hawaii. And so he was a teacher at Punahou, at the school that we ended. It's a K-12 school, so the school that we ended up going to as well. But he was a phenomenal teacher, and that's what made him an amazing entertainer. Is that he would incorporate, you know, he'd take you on a journey, and you would come out enlightened. You'd come out feeling edified when you come from his show in Waikiki. But the interesting experience for us, and my dad was also a phenomenal missionary. He was in the mission field late 60s, early 70s, maybe. I don't know exactly.
No, it was late 50s.
I mean, late 50s. Yeah. Sorry. And he was there with Alema Fitismanu's dad.
Oh, okay.
Alema came same freshman class as Alema and I here at BYU. Hmm. We all came through together.
And the Reeds?
The Reeds, the Te'o, some Te'os and Atoas. These are all names that have that are part of this BYU family. But he didn't talk about himself. You know, so you didn't know a lot of stuff until I would sit down with like a student of his would recognize me and go, "Hey, are you Al's son?" And then he would proceed to tell me how my dad changed his life. Mm. And same thing with, I hear missionary stories of how my dad was this amazing missionary from these other people. My dad never sat down and told, you know, stories about what an amazing person he was. I mean,
no Uncle Rico moments for us.
Like Tao said at the beginning, anyone who will listen to me, I'm going to tell this story to.
You know, this is an interesting part of that. My dad did not talk about his athletic career either. And it wasn't until I was up in my dad's den and I was looking through like a cupboard, and I stumble upon these scrapbooks that, you know, some people had made for him over the years. And I'm flipping through this, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like this guy is a legend, right? He won a state championship at Punahou when they were there. And as you mentioned, first high school All-American outside of the continental United States, earns a scholarship to Stanford. And I was, you know, I don't even know if I was aware of those things until I'm, you know, looking through this scrapbook. And I'm like, good grief, this guy is, you know, amazing.
So he did it all. Yeah. I mean, he was an entertainer and athlete.
To Alema's point, we all, I think, aspire to be that kind of dad. Because, like, as far as the father that we are to our children is, you know, we do our best. Sometimes our best work is done other places, and our kids don't necessarily see it. This is an unfortunate reality, right? But my hope, just as it was my experience with my dad, where people came up to me and say, "Hey, are you Al's son?" And then I have the same experience with Alema, where people say, they think I'm Alema, and then they realize they go, "Let me tell you how Alema changed my life." Mm-hmm. And so my hope and my aspiration is that I can be the type of man that someday people will approach my kids and say, "Hey, are you Tao's son or Tao's daughter? Let me tell you a little bit about what, you know, the things that he did when you know, maybe you didn't know." And our dad was that guy.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I love that. And I'm sure your mom was incredible. I want to hear a little bit about your mom and the influence that she had on your upbringing.
Well, you know, my mom coming, I was just with my mom earlier this week. She lives in Lehigh and stopped by to visit her. And she still has Sunday dinner for the kids. And so we, you know, still are able to congregate at her home. And our mom was the epitome and the example of unconditional love. If I reflect on my time at BYU, there's always the coach that's the kind of the hardliner, and then there's the coach that is, you know, will pull you on the side and say, he's just telling you this because he's yelling at you because he loves you. and he wants the best from you. He can see your potential. He's trying to get that out of you. He's like, why is he yelling at me? So you know, you always have those moments growing up, and I think the roles that parents play, and my mom was that person that just loved unconditionally and was always, you know, trying to boost you up. And so my mom being from Utah, we did have experiences. We came to Utah and visited regularly during, you know, summers and even sometime during the winter. But my mom is just this wonderful lady, still is. And, you know, the things that people have said about my father, continue to say about my father over the years, they say the same thing about my mom. You know, she's still teaching primary. She's like 81 years old and she's teaching primary. But she has such an impact on those kids and has grandkids night at her home. And so, you know, it's hard to even put into words the importance that of the role that my mom played and continues to play. She's an amazing, amazing woman who she went to, you know, ended up going to Hawaii as a foreigner, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
And then ended up being more local than some of the, you know, the people that grew up there. She cooks unbelievable Polynesian food and has a great love for the islands and really epitomizes what the Aloha spirit is all about. I think it was destined for her to be part of that culture.
She embraced everything about that culture.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll have more from Alema and Tao Harrington. You're listening to Royal Legacy.
And now back to Royal Legacy and your host, Lauren McLean.
You two are your twins. You're both athletic. I'm sure you were very competitive growing up. I want to know, what types of things did you guys compete in when you were growing up? That had to have been an interesting dynamic, being twins.
just thinking about girls, but... there was maybe some competition in that way, but the thing that comes to my mind is pole vaulting. That was really the only place where we went head to head. We played tennis before we got in. So now all the Polynesian guys are having their kids play golf. Back then, back when we were that age, kind of in our youth, getting into our preteens and stuff, my dad wanted, this is the days of Jimmy Connors and
Arthur Ashe.
Ely Anastasi, Arthur Ashe, and tennis had potential, and it was, you know, it was a country club sport. My dad, you know, he wanted us, and my dad played football. He didn't want us to play football. So we played tennis, but we didn't. It was pole vaulting was really where we had this opportunity to push one another to greater heights, like literally and figuratively. And that was a special time. We grew up in I credit a lot of this to my mom, that we were always required to get along. But it was something that was very natural. If we didn't get along, my mom would send us into our room, and we couldn't come out until we had our arms around each other, and we're going to be nice now. But our relationship has always been relatively has always been supportive of each other, and that is, I credit a lot of that to the way that we were raised was. You know, that you support one another in what you're doing, and you you cheer each other on in your successes.
That's hard to do sometimes as a kid. Yeah, what was your perspective?
I think that people ask that question, man, would you guys, because I think about the Kofusis and, you know, the pickup basketball games that family, you know, has, and it's like, ah, man, it's like you better bring, you know, an emergency kit for whoever's going to get it. We had very few moments where we were contentious. And the way that Tao describes it is very accurate. We were supportive of one another. And outside of pole vault, where we were competing head to head, there was always this sense of true brotherhood and supporting each other. And I give my brother, I give Tao a lot of credit in this regard, because he was always supportive of me. And in our dynamic, in our relationship, there's plenty of times, there were headlines, because I was a tailback, and he played every position that the team needed. So he was our quarterback, he was our fullback, he was played safety. So he was all over contributing, whereas the tailback's going to get 20 plus carries and 100 yards.
I mean, right.
So. And he was always the most inspirational, just the guy that everybody could look to be supportive and kind of lift you up and take you to that next level. And I'm eternally grateful for that, because that's just has been his personality, forever. And so it made for, an interesting and a beautiful dynamic between us.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
You guys have mentioned your high school a few times.
Yeah.
Punahou High School. Decent number of famous alum, which is cool. Norm Chow, Manti Te'o, Michelle Wee, Barack Obama.
Mosi Tatupu.
Yeah.
Before us, Mosi Tatupu was one of the great running backs that came out of there.
Yeah,
and went.
Played for the Patriots for many years.
Yeah.
His son played for the Seahawks as a linebacker, came through USC as well.
That's incredible. Yeah. And you guys played football, basketball, and you did track and field.
Yeah. Mm.
What impact would you say that sports had on your life at that time?
Sports was basically everything. I recall back then you would leave the house in the morning. We had early morning seminary in Hawaii, so it's 6 a.m. seminary. And we wouldn't get home till after 6 p.m. because we were in sports. And sometimes I just think about how much it consumed our lives. But that's just... how that was just life, that's just what you did. But I was just somebody that I'm friends with on Facebook was posting his son just started tackle football, scored his first touchdown, and this is the time of year when high school football is getting started and all this stuff, where it's just a beautiful time to live in America. And I just think of I reflect on the impact that sports in general, but football in particular, have had on my life, in the character that it builds, and building a team dynamic, learning how to be both a leader and a subordinate, a follower, and learning how to put in work. And some of the stuff that we talk about with the A-Game Institute, a lot of it comes out of this experiences with our dad, but it comes out of what we learned in the process of being involved in sports and building character and showing up and persevering, pushing through your trials and your adversities. Those are the things that when I reflect on the impact of sports in my life, it's that plus, I just had the second back surgery in 6 months. Mm. So there's that impact as well.
All different types of impacts.
But more than anything, I'm so grateful for the experiences. And when I reflect on BYU, the opportunity to travel and do all these things and play in amazing venue. Just, so blessed. So blessed.
Yeah. I think about, athletics was woven into the fabric of our lives. And, we played in Hawaii's Police Athletic League is kind of the little league, right, pal? We played basketball, baseball growing up. And as Tao mentioned, leaving in the morning, not getting back till late in the evening. But understanding just how that was as much of a classroom as any other experience that we had outside of, going to a very, a celebrated academic institution like Punahou, still football and athletics were, I think, the main classroom, which is, again, you know, for both of us, an appreciation for that. I have an 11 and a 12-year-old that are both very active, basketball and football and track and field. And to see the experiences that they're having and have, you know, gratitude and appreciation for the things that they are learning in those environments that are hard to, if not impossible, to teach and learn anywhere else.
Absolutely. Yeah. I 100% agree. Yeah. So many things you can learn in sports that you can't learn anywhere else. Yeah. So I'm so intrigued, though, because you guys said that football was the one sport your dad did not want you to play. And that's what you end up playing at the next level. So we'll start with Tao. How did football become the sport you decided, I want to play this at the next level?
You know what's interesting? I don't think, and my life has followed this pattern, I don't think that I thought about it that much. That, this is what happens. You play high school, then you play college. I knew that that's what we did. I knew that going to college was just part of what is expected of you. Getting a chance to play football was a bonus. But I loved the sport so much that I didn't see my life without it. I think Alema can probably speak a little bit more to aspiring to play at the next level. That was just kind of my privilege, not necessarily, you know, something that I was chasing.
Mm. I think, the story, as we were growing up, Dad did not want us to play football. We were a little undersized. We were twins, didn't get a growth spurt till ninth grade. But at Punahou, you could play ninth grade. You were eligible to play ninth grade ball if you were a seventh grader. My dad did not want us to play. We were playing tennis. We played basketball and baseball. But we forged his signature to be able to try out for the seventh grade team. And so then we try out for the seventh grade team, or the ninth grade team, excuse me. And as seventh graders, we make the team. Now, that might have been just like a courtesy from those coaches, like, oh, this is Al Harrington's kids. Like, we can't really cut them. But my father, he talks about coming to one of the games. You know, eventually, he accepts his boys are playing football, and he comes to a game. And the story he tells is, like, I was playing running back, and he says, I scored 5 touchdowns. I might have scored 3. But he's like, I watched, Alema, and he, scoring all these touchdowns. It's like, okay, these kids can play. So eventually he embraced us playing football. But I think that for us, growing up on the playground and stuff, it was always football, right? And so loved the game, loved the contact side of it. I don't know that you appreciate the team building part of that as you're growing up, but to have a greater appreciation for it now. But we always, loved football. And I had all of the great running backs of my era. I had their posters and followed those guys and would read every article out there about Herschel Walker and, these different things as I was coming up.
Thanks again to Alema and Tao Harrington for coming on the show with me. Carter Bond and Tori Kimball helped produce this episode with senior producer Terry South. You can join the Royal Legacy wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or on BYURadio.org. Make sure you listen to part 2 of my interview with the Harrington brothers next week as we dive into overcoming addiction and the role family plays in recovery. Royal Legacy is a production of BYU Broadcasting.